Father, we thank you, Lord, for the people of God gathered together today for fellowship, even as in the early church. And said, well, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship daily, you know, from house to house and, you know, being in one accord. This is our own platform of daily fellowship. We thank you for the opportunity. And for everyone that's here today and that makes, everyone that makes sacrifice to come, some have to get up early, come to these rooms. Some have to, you know, find time in the middle of the day and whatever. Lord, we pray the blessing will follow. There's a blessing that comes from hearing the word of God and for keeping those things that the Lord is telling us. We receive those blessings. And I pray today, I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare that every day, and so let it be, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, the fruit of the Spirit, our, again, our memory verse, I say it at the start of each of these lessons, Galatians 5:22-23, you know, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Today, temperance. Temperance, as we just read in Galatians 2:22-23, temperance is part of the fruit of the Spirit. According to the dictionary, it is the quality of moderation, self-control, self-discipline, or self-restraint. Well, I combined many definitions into that one. It could be any of these things: moderation, self-control, self-discipline, or self-restraint. And let's look at some scriptures that talk about it. It's also one of the building blocks for growing our faith. You said building blocks for growing your faith? Yeah, that you add on top of your faith. According to 2 Peter, you know, chapter 1. In that chapter, Peter is talking about, look, you start with the foundation of faith, you know, but then you add several things on top of that. Never taking away from what you already have, but adding to what you already have, you know, and this is the way it says, besides all this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, giving all diligence, add to your faith, you know, so we always add it. Spiritual maturity, you know, demands that we carry with us, you know, the things that we have known, not throw them away in order to learn new things, you know, unless those things were negative, but things that were positive that we have learned, you build on top, you know, build on top. There may be basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. There may be basic things like the fruit of the Spirit. You can't throw those, that knowledge away in pursuit of something greater. No, you add on top of it. And he says here, add to make all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, including temperance, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged already from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. That's right. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, like making your election sure, and you give diligence, and you let these things be in you, adding to your faith, you know, virtue, and adding to virtue knowledge, and adding to knowledge temperance, and so forth. You know, if you let these things be in you, he said, well, then ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You know, and temperance is part of the things that gets you there. Praise the Lord. So to get into that, you know, abundant, I mean, to get that abundant entrance ministered unto us into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Temperance is one of those things that are listed there that will help us. You know, so we see that that's important right away. You know, temperance, we're told, is a quality that is required in leaders, according to Titus chapter 1. Now, you know, Paul wrote many things, you know, to Titus, he wrote to Timothy, he wrote to quality to be found in leaders, elders, bishops, etc. You know, one of the things he wrote about is temperance. In the book of Titus, you know, chapter 1 and verse 8, he gives this instruction. He said, you know, concerning a bishop, you know, qualities, these are leaders, must be blameless, as the steward of God, must not be self-willed, you know, and so, you know, must not be soon angry, must not be given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre either. You know, but a lover of hospitality, lover of good men, must be sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. He may be able by sound doctrine to both to exhort and convince gainsayers. And it's also moderation. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that as well. So we're going to look at a few aspects of temperance. You know, it can be these things we've talked about, self-control, self-discipline, self-restraint, moderation, etc. We're going to look at various things, various scriptures that portray that. Temperance is also, you know, some of the same words that translated as being sober-minded. You know, being sober and sober-minded. We see also in Titus chapter 2, more instructions to this time around elders and different things, you know. It says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus 2 and 1, that the aged man be sober, be grave, be temperate, that's the temperance, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. You know, and also the like, you know, aged women likewise, and so on and so forth. You know, and then he said, look, the behavior that is becoming holiness is what we should portray. Not false accusers, not giving too much wine. You know, this is the second time we're reading about not giving to wine, not giving to, in one place in Titus 1, say not giving to wine. Here I say it's not giving too much wine, you know, to, love, you know, to be teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober. So we see soberness is also something that's been called out. Love their husbands and so on and so forth. You know, so we'll be talking about soberness also. And then you go down to verse 6 and it says, young men likewise also exhort to be sober-minded. And so there's a lot of things being said about being temperate and sober-minded. Some of these, those words might sometimes come from the same root word and they might mean the same thing. So we're going to look at different aspects of that. Praise the Lord. So, talking again about, you know, the attribute of temperance, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. I want to talk about self-control, self-discipline, and self-restraint, you know, as some of the characteristics of this temperance. Let's look at some scriptures. You know, these are forms of self-control and self-restraint. I'm going to call some of them out. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 32, he that is slow to anger, you know, now it takes self-constraint, I mean self-restraint to do that, self-control. Sometimes people or situations may push your buttons, as they say, but you know, what are you going to do? Well, temperance, you know, self-control is a form of temperance. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit, that means has self-restraint, control, you know, put that anger and so forth, put it on that check. You know, he that doeth that is better and stronger than he that taketh a city. This is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. So now this is a form of self-control and self-restraint, controlling our emotions, controlling our anger, you know, even, you know, slow to speak, swift to hear, that's self-control. All of that is self-control. I mean, you have to be intentional in restraining yourself when you want to, your mouth wants to run off, you know, like James talks about the electric tongue. Self-restraint, self-control, you know, temperance, you know, is to put those things in check. Now, here's another good one about self-control, which is, you know, it's part of temperance. People may not think of this like this, but even how we eat, how we drink, how we dress, how we portray ourselves, you know, the Bible says all these things should be done in modesty and moderation. It takes self-control, self-discipline to do the right things. You know, when thou sittest at meat with a ruler, Proverbs chapter 23, you know, consider diligently, verse 1, he says, what is set before you. Now, it takes self-restraint and self-control when you have a lot of food in front of you to even be check yourself so you don't get into gluttony. You know, America right now, you know, there's a lot of food everywhere. Some people are hungry, but some people have too much. And just because you have access to a lot of food doesn't mean you have to eat everything. It takes self-restraint and self-control. You know, there may be some things that are good or not good for us, especially the things that may not be good for us. It takes self-control to stay away from those things. You know, your primary doctor, your primary physician, you know, your primary care physician may have told you these things, but you can't break away. Because there's lack of self-control, it's lack of temperance, it's lack of self-discipline or self-restraint. So when you sit to eat with a ruler, even, you know, you go to a banquet and so forth, you have to eat everything? No. You know, consider diligently what is before you. Put a knife to your throat. I mean, this is kind of really rough. Put a knife to your throat, he said, in case you are a man of given to appetite, in case you have a tendency of gluttony, better put a knife to your throat. Check yourself. Don't be desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. you know, and that's even food, you know, let alone other things, you know. So this is also a form of self-discipline, self-control, and self-restraint. You know, how does Paul talk about this in 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 10? Talks about this self-discipline and self-control. Here's how I put it in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And you know, so I've got to pick and choose, you know, even though it may be okay for me to do it, it may not be expedient, you know, for me to do it. And that takes self-control. Now, all things may be lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. That's 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. You know, you're not going to let anything rule over you. I mean, you know, people say I'm addicted to this and that. Well, that's being brought under the power of this thing. You know, don't be addicted to any kind of food, let alone drink. We'll talk about that in a bit. Don't be addicted to anything. You know, be able to shake that loose. I mean, you have the power to eat and drink, you know. Nothing. I mean, Peter was shown that in Acts chapter 10, that look, you know, there's nothing accursed, you know, anymore. You can eat anything you want, as long as we bless it and give thanks for it. But just because you may eat it, does that mean you have to eat it? Or does that mean you should eat it? Just because you can do something, does that mean, you know, I mean, just because you can do it, does it mean you should do it? So the difference between can and should is where self-control and self-restraint comes in. You know, it may be okay for me to do something, but is it really going to be beneficial for me to do it? Does my action glorify Christ? Could I be a stumbling block to somebody else just because I'm doing what I think I can do? It's my right, within my right to do it. So these things are aspects of self-control and self-discipline. You know, again, in 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, it talks about the same thing, almost the same exact language. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. We're saying that, look, even it may be lawful, it doesn't necessarily mean it may be for edification. It may actually be a stumbling block to someone else. I mean, he wrote about, you know, even if my meat caused my brother to stumble, should I then eat it just because I have the right to do it? You know, should I, you know, cause by my actions a brother for whom Christ died to stumble? These things take self-restraint, self-restraint and self-control and self-discipline, you know, discipline. Now, discipline means to be temperate and moderate in all things. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, you know, verse 5, it was talking about let your moderation, it's also called moderation, be moderate, let it be known unto all men, you know, things that you will not do, not because you can't do them, but you won't do them for various reasons. Well, you know, let your position be known, you know, to all men. Praise the Lord. You know, temperance in all things is also even a quality that athletes embrace, you know. People who are training for mastery, Paul talked about that. Athletes, real life athletes, we're not talking about Bible stories now. But even the Bible talks about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it says, look, even those who are striving for masteries, those are athletes, they are temperate in all things, you know, self-control, discipline, and restraint is, you know, they do that when they're in training. You know, they're not just going to eat anything, drink anything, party all night long and all this crazy stuff. You know, if they want to win a medal, they're going to put their body under, they're going to go through training regimen that may be very hard on their body. They use self-discipline. Paul's talking about it here. You know, he said, look, these are things, you know, I myself, he said, look, I don't do shadow boxing. I don't fight the air, you know, tactical in my approach. That's, you know, being tactical also requires a form of self-discipline. You know, some of the things we practice take a lot of self-discipline. We just may not be thinking about it. Those of you who have to get up, I mean, on the West Coast here, and in Arizona, and in the U.S., you have to get up early to come to this room every day. That takes a form of self-discipline. You discipline yourself that you're going to do it. You know, people who are not disciplined in life, they're going to find they run into all kinds of problems. People who have no discipline in keeping to time, they do that enough, they might lose their job. You know, your job wants you to be there at a certain time. If you are always late, you're going to get reprimanded. And if you continue, you may get fired. I mean, people have to be disciplined. If you can't control your mouth, I mean, you go to meetings, you run off your mouth and so forth. You are unruly and so on and so forth. People who do that, you know, they are liable to get into trouble. You know, you are on the job and you are just, you know, out of order all the time. You know, somebody is going to deal with that. So your superiors, or the superiors are going to have to deal with that. And the person may lose their job because of lack of restraint. You know, you got to restrain yourself. You know, you can't, you don't need to react, you know, rashly to everything. In relationships, the same way. Marriages, the same way. You have to practice discipline and restraint. You know, you don't have to, you know, be angry about everything. You don't have to complain about everything. And it takes a level, an amount of discipline, self-discipline, be able to do that. Now, as you can see, being that this is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that leads us to say that we need help from the Holy Spirit in this area, because we can't bear this fruit on our own. But these are some of the things that we need to do, you know, to keep our negative reactions to situations, you know, and keep them under control and so forth. Now, let's talk a little bit more about things that we can do, you know, that are legal. But should we do it? You know, there are many questions that people have raised, that I've heard over the years about certain things, you know, like, should we eat certain meats? Should we drink alcohol? Should we do this and that? You know, anybody that's even struggling with that, they need help from the Holy Spirit, you know. So, you know, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. You know, if you're not being led and you start to struggle with, can I do this or can't I do that? Well, you need to figure out how to be led by the Spirit. You know, but let's approach it this way. Let's approach it from this lesson of temperance. You know, let's take, for instance, things that may be a stumbling block to someone else, and your faith may be strong. You know, Paul talked about these things. It takes a level of discipline to control yourself in order to help somebody else. You know, there's a lesson that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 when he was talking about these things. You know, some people say, well, can we eat things like this? You even eat things sacrificed to idols? Of course not. If you know that it's sacrificed to idols, you know. But Paul was talking about, you know, even, don't use your liberty as a cloak for offense, you know. You know, sometimes, you know, he wrote a number of things in this chapter. Some of it borders on temperance and self-control. So I'm going to read part of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, right? But knowledge, he said, puffs up, but love edifies. Now, if any man think he knows anything, he knows not nothing. He knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now, as concerning the eating of those things that are sacrificed unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, small g, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be many gods, small g, and lords, many, small l, but unto us there is but one God, capital G. Hallelujah. The Father, of whom are all things, and we are in him. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, well, not everybody has that knowledge. You know, for some, with conscience of idol, to this hour, they eat the thing, you know, and because they have the conscience of it, their conscience is weakened and defiled. Now, meat Now, so I want to talk about that now. Meat does not commend us unto God. For neither if we eat, are we the better, neither if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed. See, this is the thing. Take heed lest by any means your liberty has become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, if any man see you that have knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to do those things, eat those things that are offered to idols? And you, through your knowledge, you know, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? Now, it takes self-discipline to understand these things and self-restraint. You know, now, when we sin this way against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, we sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And this is the whole chapter I just read. What about drink? And, you know, I want to get into this controversial topic today. It's not controversial to me in my mind at all, you know, but some people think it's controversial, you know, but let's talk about it. You know, there are a lot of people, you know, engage in drinking alcohol and different things and so forth. And they even have arguments in the scriptures. But let's talk about self-control and moderation and temperance as it relates to even drinking, you know, alcohol, getting drunk and all these things. You say, why are you even talking about these believers? No, it is this thing we got to talk about, you know, because it's part of, you know, temperance, you know. So let's talk about it. Now, here are some scriptures to consider. First, I'm laying a background that, look, all things may be lawful, you know, but all things may not necessarily be expedient. You know, one time, you know, they asked Jesus, they said, well, your disciples do not wash their hands before they eat. You know, they do all these things, you know, and they break the tradition of the elders. And Jesus said this thing. I want to explain two scriptures here that Jesus talked about. Same thing reported in two parts. Pick two parts of the Bible here, in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. So in Matthew 15 and 11, Jesus says this, makes this statement. Now, this is, I say this because some people use this as an argument, you know, to drink or get crazy with food or anything like that. Because they say, well, you know, these things don't defile you. All right, so let's see what Jesus said. Hear and understand, you know, Matthew 15 and 11, that which goeth into the mouth defileth not a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. And so he goes on to, but they didn't understand it. So he explained it further in verse 17. Don't you understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and these defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, all these things. Now these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands does not defile a man. This is what Jesus was talking about. Now people have taken this and expanded it to say, well, whatever goes inside the mouth of a man does not defile a man. So if I drink, that's going inside my mouth, that doesn't defile me. Maybe true, but and before we jump to any conclusion, let's just study it together. You know, now, people use all kinds of things in the Bible to find ramification for whatever they are doing, justify themselves. Now, Jesus says this, you know, in the book of Luke, you know, chapter 16, he talks about this thing. You know, he said, look, ye are they which justify yourself. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. Some people like to justify themselves. You know, you justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts, Jesus said. You know, so What is your argument and why? Is it because you want to justify yourself before God? I mean, rather before men? Well, God knows your hearts, Jesus said. Now, let's think about this. You say, well, it goes in my mouth, that cannot defile me. Well, Jesus did say that. He was talking about unwashing hands. But you can expand that. People say, well, anything that goes in will come in, go out, you know, in the drought and so forth. I'll tell you a funny story. There was a time years ago, I was in the university then, still a young man, maybe 21 or so, 22, I don't know. You know, witnessing to somebody, you know, they were smoking their health away. And I said, you know, this thing is not good, you know, for you. He said, well, you know, he was trying to be religious to me and quote this scripture. That where Jesus said, whatever goes into the mouth doesn't defile the body. He told me, and I said, oh, really? So you know the scriptures, huh? And so we got to talking. I said, well, maybe. But did you know? I mean, this, like I said, this is just something funny. You know, so, you know, I wanted to be, you know, catch him at what he said. It's just something funny. It's not an argument that I'm using here, but I just remember the story. And he said, well, you know, when I smoke, it goes in my body. It doesn't defile my body. I said, oh, true. I said, but did not Jesus also say that what comes out of your mouth defiles you? When you puff it out, it defiles you. So we just kind of, and then it was amazing. I was trying to be, you know, tongue in the cheek, you know, to be smart or something to him. But surprisingly, when I said that, I mean, he lost his edge. You know, I didn't mean it as a serious argument. I just said it because he said something. I want to say something back. You know, that's the way I was when I was a young man. You tell me something, I'll tell you something back. You know, so and then all of a sudden, surprisingly, you know, he calmed down. And then he didn't say, wow, I didn't think of it like that. I said, well, yeah. And then I started to talk to him. It was funny. I mean, later on when I look back on it, I said it was funny. I never thought, it was never in my mind to say that, but came out of the conversation. And I told him, well, you say, yeah, I smoke it. Doesn't hurt my body. Doesn't defile. Well, I said, well, but Jesus said, well, you come out of your mouth, might defile. So when you puff that thing out, maybe it defiles you. And we were just, you know, I was saying it just to be funny. But to be serious, Jesus was talking about, you know, what you put in your body may not defile you. And that may be true. But let's look at other scriptures, you know, and see what the Bible has to say about these things. Because, like I said, to some people, it's a controversial topic. To me, it's not. You know, I've never drank in my life. You know, I'm 70 years old now. I don't drink wine, don't drink alcohol, never did. And I don't miss it because I don't even know what it is. But I'll tell you some other things too, you know, about this thing. You know, being temperate is a good thing. Paul wrote a lot about this, that we should not be given to wine. There are some people, you know, that love to do these things, drink and do everything. And they say, well, I mean, it really isn't, you know, the Bible doesn't condemn it. Maybe not. But your actions, just like Jesus said, I mean, I've known even church leaders that engage in drinking and so forth. They say, well, it's not, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, maybe not. But will you use your liberty to embolden somebody else? You know, Jesus talked, you know, Paul talked about that. What if they see you sitting at meat? I mean, not sitting at meat, but they see your party drinking beer, drinking wine, doing all these things and carrying on, and you're a leader. And then what is he going to do to the young ones? You know, wouldn't he embolden them to do what you thought you are able to handle? Or maybe they can't handle it. Will you then, by your liberty, make the conscience of a brother weak for whom Christ died? You know, Paul talked about this. We just read in chapter 8 of Corinthians. So let's think about that. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, again, talking to, you know, believers, and in particular, you know, leaders, you know, Because he said, if a man desire the office of a bishop or whatever, you know, he said, desire is a good thing. You know, a bishop, a leader, must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, you know, must be of good behavior, giving to hospitality, apt to teach, not giving to wine. These are characteristics for leaders, you know. No striker, not greedy or filthy lurker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, you know, and goes on and on and on about these things. Now, even in the Old Testament, people knew the dangers of drinking or drunkenness. You know, some people say, well, you know, it's just a little this, a little that. Well, we'll see what scripture says about that as well. You know, but there are some dangerous areas that you got to be careful. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, will you be wise? Who then is a wise man and endued with wisdom among you? Well, stay from that wine. Stay away from that alcohol. You know, even, you know, in Proverbs 23, it says, the drunken and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Well, let's read it. Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 20 to 21. Be not among wine bibbers. You know, don't do it. Among rioters, eaters of flesh. Now, these are just wild people eating all the time, stuffing them. Jesus even warned about it. Do you know that there is a danger of, you know, surfeiting and drunkenness that Jesus warned about? He said, be careful now, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and that day come upon you unawares. I mean, so there is a possibility that this lack of self-control, lack of self-restraint might even make somebody miss the rapture. Have you ever thought about that? You know, surfeiting, you know, that's overeating. Drunkenness, you know, all these things. Jesus talked about it, you know. He said, look, be careful. These things might cause you to even miss what God is doing in your day. Now, if that is not enough to jolt anybody back to their senses, I don't know what else will, you know. But let's read Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. And Jesus put the cares of the life in the same category as surfeiting and drunkenness, as far as things that can be a distraction and cause us to miss the day of visitation. And so that is something that, you know, we need to be aware of. But let me read you a few other scriptures. You know, praise the Lord. Remember, this one is very strong in Proverbs 23:21. Be not among wine bibbers, among rioters, eaters of flesh, that's surfeiting. For the drunkard, that's drunkenness. And the glutton shall come to poverty. And drowsiness, you know, many people drink too much. They get into this mode of drunkenness. They start to say things that they shouldn't say. And they lose, you know, control, you know, over their mind and their tongue sometimes. And their even their actions, because they don't have self-control. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. You know, that's a serious warning. It starts with a little, though. A little folding of the arms, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little giving of sleep to your eyelids. Well, a little drink, a little here, a little there, you know, and so forth. When it starts with something else, you know, eventually they get intoxicated. And then they can't control themselves. You know, listen to this in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, continue until the night, till the wine inflame them. And there are many scriptures that talk about, and some people say, well, that's strong drink. Well, I'm not eating, drinking strong drink. Well, maybe not. But be careful now, you know, because, you know, one thing may lead to another, you know. There are even some medications. They give you a little of it, you know, and give it to you repeatedly. You know, your body begins to get addicted to that thing. You know, now, woe unto them. In the same chapter 5 of Isaiah, woe unto them, follow strong drink. Also in verse 22, that was verse 11. Verse 22 says, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Now, some people, you know, actually revel in these things. I know in Africa and some places, there's some cultures in Africa where they think that drinking all those, you know, strong drink, those fermented wine, and, you know, they think it's a thing of strength. And they think, you know, they think that they are really strong. Well, a culture, you know, we're not, you know, you may have grown up in those cultures, but you're not really part of that culture. You are a royal nation, a chosen, a peculiar people. You're different. And follow those things, you know, but some people still follow because they think it's in their culture. Listen to what in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 4 to 7, says about that. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Well, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. You know, this is a tongue-in-cheek kind of way of saying it. Well, you know, let him drink and forget his misery. Well, they won't forget. They may have hangovers or some other things, but it is not for kings. Are you a king? You say, well, I am not. You know, I remember somebody was trying to make an argument one time. They were trying to make, you won't believe the things that people argue about. Somebody was trying to make an argument for them to stay, you know, and be faithful to one man, one wife. And they were making an argument that, well, you know, Bible says that it must be the husband of one wife. You know, I said, that's a bishop, that's a this, and that's a that. Well, I'm not that. And I said, my goodness, it's amazing how the mind of people think. Well, are you a king? If it is not for kings to drink wine, are you a king? Well, let's see if we can answer that question. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, these two verses clearly say that God has made us unto our God, you know, priests and kings. And so, are you a king? Well, let's see if you can answer that question. Has God made you a king? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, when he says you are a royal priesthood, royal means you're part of the kingdom. You know, all these scriptures call us out as kings and priests. Now, other people may be able to revel in these things, but for you who is a king, for you who are a priest, if you are a king and you are a priest, you know, you are called to a higher standard of behavior, but it takes self-control. It's because people are lacking self-control. That's why they find argument, you know, to get into these things, you know. But we are told to be sober. You know, soberness in many places has to do with staying away from wine. You know, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. That's also temperance. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, helmet the hope of salvation. Again, be sober, be vigilant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is going around looking who he may devour. Well, can you imagine, you know, being sober, you know, might actually help you to avoid, you know, some of the tactics of the devil? Be not drunk with wine. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. in its excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, so, you know, rather than put that stuff in your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know, put the Holy Spirit, you know, be filled with a, you know, it's a contrast he's making here. You know, the wine on the one side, you know, Holy Spirit on the other side. But some people say that, well, and, you know, what about Jesus turning water into wine? You know, what about, you know, Paul telling Timothy to use a little wine for his, you know, this and that? Well, let's read those scriptures and let's talk about it. You know, because we're talking about temperance and self-control. You know, there's a story in John chapter 2, the first 11 verses. We talk about this marriage that was at Cana of Galilee. And Jesus was called, his mother, Jesus, and everybody went there. And then they ran out of wine. You know the story. So they come to Mary and say, well, we ran out of wine. So let's read the story, because this is part of the argument, you know, that people make. Well, if you shouldn't drink wine, then why did Jesus turn water into wine? Well, let's find out what he actually did. And so, you know, they come to Mary, and Mary turns to Jesus and say, well, they have no wine. And Jesus says, well, woman, what have I to do with it? My hour is not yet. So his mother turns around and says to the people, well, whatever he says to you, you do it. So now the people came, they found 6 water pots of stone, you know, and so on, containing 2 or 3, you know, measures of something. So Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they did. And he said to them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they did. Now, the whole time, they don't know what they're doing, but because Mary said, whatever I said to you, do, they do. So they are doing it. And then they draw the water and they take it to the governor of the feast. You might talk maybe MC or whatever. Let's see how much time elapsed, you know, in that time. They draw out the water. How long does it take to draw the water? Then Jesus, they take it to the priest, and they take it to the priest. I mean, not the priest, the governor of the feast, and they take it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water, then he realized, my goodness, this is wine. And he said, he doesn't know where it comes from. And he says, you know, to the governor of the feast, he said, well, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men are well drunk and the wine, and then later on they set forth that which is well, but that has kept the good wine until now. And I guarantee you that's fresh wine. That's not fermented. Because they drew it out and Jesus told them to carry it, and in their process of carrying it there, it turned into wine. Didn't have any time to ferment at all. Now that's fresh. Now the wine can be thought of as juice. In fact, you know, when Jesus was talking about, you know, I desire to eat this feast with you and to drink this cup before my death, and he took bread and wine, he wasn't taking alcohol. You read the scriptures, you read the root words. And these are unfermented, you know, grape juice. It's actually called wine. You check it out. Unfermented grape juice is pure, you know, wine too. Now, when it gets fermented, you know, become alcoholic, you know, that's the one that stings, you know. And it's not, I mean, there's other things that they use. It's not always fruit only that they use when they mix all those alcoholic drinks. They put all kinds of things in it, you know. But this was not the kind of fermented wine that will make people intoxicated. In fact, they call it the good wine. Wow, this is the good wine, you know, so. You know, and so people who argue that was the kind of wine that Jesus gave them, was in the fermented wine. They say, well, what about Paul telling Timothy to use a little wine for his stomach and his often infirmities? Well, and this is called the medicinal use of, you know, wine has some, it could have some medicinal use, but taken in moderation. It was what Paul was saying. He called it a little wine for your stomach. So we see that he was talking about something that could actually help him. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Now, reading between the lines, apparently Timothy, you know, had stomach trouble and was always sick or whatever. And Paul said, well, yeah, a little wine might help you. Now, I guarantee you that was not alcoholic wine either. It might help you. There are some cultures, you know, that drink wine with their food. I know the French, they like to do that and so forth. You know, now, you have to be led by the Spirit and determine what it is you want to do. Remember, Paul said, all things may be lawful, but, you know, are all things actually expedient? Some of them may not be. And, you know, you have to determine for yourself. Now, today, because we're talking about moderation and temperance and self-control and self-restraint and self-discipline, that's why I venture into these things. These are not topics that I normally get into. I don't even, you know, waste my time worrying about should I drink or should I not drink. You know, if I have to struggle with whether I should drink or not, I have, you know, more serious things to worry about. You know, that one is not even, never been an issue for me personally. I don't even bother about it. I don't put those things in my mouth, you know. But for those that struggle with it, I gave you the scriptures for you to, you know, consider what the scripture says and see, you know, whether you have become judges of evil things or judges of good things. You know, are you going to use self-restraint? You know, drinking wine by itself may not be anything bad in itself. You know, Paul said, look, I'm persuaded that there is nothing evil of itself. But, you know, well, you know, Jesus said, well, you may be justifying yourself, but God knows your hearts. You know, if in our hearts we're just trying to prove our rights, well, the Bible says God knows your hearts. Now, we also don't want to be legalistic. You know, this is the problem that, you know, people, when we talk about these things, when we don't use balance, then it appears to people as if you are being legalistic. Don't do this, don't eat that, touch not, taste not, handle not, this and that. That's legalism. I'm not doing any such thing here today. So let's call that out clearly. This is not legalism, and I'm not telling you to not drink or not eat or not do this or not touch or not handle. But because we're on the subject of temperance, you know, I have to bring it out. You know, temperance is that aspect of self-discipline, self-control, you know, self-restraint that you may actually use when you are thinking of these things of, oh, can I drink? Can I do this? Well, think about self-control. This, that's not legalism. It may be okay, but is it expedient? If you do it and they look at you, I've heard people say, well, I saw this pastor and that person, you know, in a party, they were drinking. And then all of a sudden they become weakened in their faith. You know, they were bold, emboldened to do that. You know, maybe it was okay for the person that did it, but now are your actions making somebody else to stumble? So that's where, so I'm coming from the angle of self-restraint. I'm coming from the angle of self-control and self-discipline, both for yourself and the impact of action on somebody else. And I'm not coming from the act of legalism at all. You know, that's up to you. Whatever you want to do, that's your business. But if you're not led by the Spirit of Christ, then you are none of his. As many, anybody that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ is none of his. And as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Now, whatsoever you do, you know, in word, or food or drink and so forth, well, do all to the glory of God. Well, if it glorifies God, then fine. But does it glorify God? You know, so let's read this. Whether therefore you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore you eat, you know, I've talked about put a knife to your throat. In case you have a good appetite and you're trying to overeat, the Bible says control yourself. Well, we've talked about drink, but here is a summary of it all. This is my summarization of all of that. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense. You know, now, if you think it is to the glory of God, then fine. But if your conscience condemn you, then God is greater than your heart already. So, you know, this is the balance of it. We're not going to be legalistic, go this way or go that way. But whatever you do, in eat or drink, whatsoever you do, even in your appearance, the way you dress, is it to the glory of God? God say, whatever you do, you know, if you stand in the mirror and, you know, if your dressing is to the glory of God, fine. But if it's not to the glory of God, your dressing may even cause somebody to stumble, you know. Now, are you responsible for their stumbling? Maybe not. But you could be a contributing factor, you know. Now, some people don't think about it. I say, well, it's my body. I can dress anyhow I want. Well, yeah, you may. You know, but the Bible says, you know, if someone lost after somebody, they committed the act in their heart as well. Have you then become an object that entices people to lust? Well, you know, so dress modestly, you know, that's part of self-control as well. Do things in moderation. Let not your adorning be that of this and that and so on. We read that already. But let it be ornament of a meek and gentle spirit. So that's how we bring it to a balance. Is that, you know, I've shown you the scriptures on the left, you might call on the right, showing you the scriptures that say, stay away from these things. Well, yeah, there may be some other scriptures that people used to say, well, it's okay if I do it. Fine. Here is the middle. The middle ground is this. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, if you can do it to the glory of God, then great. You know, praise the Lord. Again, remember, it's not exactly what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's your spirit. Now, if you drink to the point that you don't know what you're saying, and then you start to run off your mouth and then being indiscreet, you know, some people have been told, you know, I've never drunken or anything like that, but I've been told, and I've seen also on TV, you know, when people drink, they lose their sense of balance sometimes. Even the law, you know, when they catch somebody doing the wrong thing, sometimes driving the wrong way, they give them the alcohol tests, you know, because they want to make sure that they were not driving under the influence. You all know about that. They might tell them to walk a straight line. I've seen that on TV as well. And this and that. You know, if alcohol and strong drink, you know, causes people to lose their balance and say things and do the wrong things, well, does that glorify God? You know, be not drunken with wine, but let's be filled with the Spirit. And let's consider one another that our actions be not a stumbling block to others. It may be okay for you to do it, but does it embolden somebody else who doesn't have faith to do it? And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, when they do it without faith, it's sin. And does your action now lead a brother for whom Christ died to sin and weaken their conscience? You know, these things are in the scriptures. Some things are for medicinal use. I know that I never understood this, but when I was small, when we were very little, 5, 6, 7 years old, I used to have fever. That thing dropped from me later on in life. But I remember my dad, when I was 6 or 7, if I had fever or something like that, he'd give us, he would bring this little, you know, one little shot of, I don't know what he called it, but a whiskey or something. That's the only memory I had of it. And I used to wonder, what is it? And it would be like a very small thing about the size of a teaspoon, you know. And he said, yeah, this thing will knock that thing off your system. I don't know. And it did, but, you know, maybe that was the medicinal use. I never did think too much about it because, you know, after I grew up a little bit, you know, I stopped having fever and I stopped living in the house anyway. You know, but once I grew up, I never went towards drinking or all of that. You know, wasn't even anything that was attractive to me, let alone something I wanted to do. But some people want to do it. Some people do what they call recreational drinking. You know, take it from people who have been a drunken. I know a man of God many years ago. You know, I was under his ministry for many years. And when he was a young man, he got into a lot of drinking. You know, and later he wrote a book and he told people, he said, well, stay away from it. You get started, you get drawn into that thing. He said, well, it's your 10% alcohol. He said, well, then you're 10% drunk. You know, and, but listen, you know, I'm not being legalistic here, just giving you wisdom, but we're on the subject of temperance. So we got to cover every side of it. Now, remember, you know, we are not of them that are of the night, because, you know, they are walking in darkness and drunkenness. We are of the day. Therefore, be sober and be vigilant. Praise the Lord. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it may be for medicinal use, you know, so be it. You know, but let the Holy Spirit guide you in all things. Let me give a summary of this subject of temperance. I could go on and on about many things, but I just want to wrap it up. Temperance, again, like we said, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. You can think of it the quality of moderation, self-control, self-restraint, self-discipline. There are many things that the Bible talks about temperance being a quality required in leaders. It's something that is used, you know, in the building blocks of adding to our faith. Now, when you get to self-control, we've read scriptures about, you know, being slow to anger, even when you sit to eat, when you have opportunity to do something in excess, anything that we have opportunity to do in excess, check yourself. It might be something that's even legal, but excess may not be good. That's where self-control comes in. You may even eat too much of a good thing, and it can become a problem. If you say, well, you know, this is good food, and you eat too much of it, they'll tell you, you know, it's not even good for you. You know, so everything has to be done in moderation. Be not desirous of, you know, meat or drink and so forth that doesn't please the Lord. These things are a form of self-discipline and self-control. And remember, Jesus said, not my will be done, but thine be done. What is the will of God, you know, for you? And as the Holy Spirit is leading you, all things may be lawful, but is everything actually expedient? You know, but Paul said, look, I will not be brought under the power of any. That means letting anything control you. You know, you shouldn't. You should be the one that's in control. Well, we can't do it ourselves except by the Holy Spirit. Now, finally, we talked about, you know, temperance in all things, even athletes, you know, being temperate, you know, moderate. You know, and everything, you know, not anything excess. You know, some people go to excesses and eventually they regret it. You know, we've known that strong drinking and so forth cause people to lose their marriages, lose their families. Some of you are very close to those stories. You know, so why even go in that direction? It doesn't make any sense. And this temple, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we should not defile it. And some people say, well, that doesn't defile you. Maybe not. But your actions, when that thing gets too strong in there, will defile you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson on temperance, which is the ninth part of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And I think that wraps it up. I'm going to leave it there, and we've covered love, we've covered joy, we covered peace, we covered long suffering, we covered gentleness, we covered goodness, we covered faith, we covered meekness, and now temperance. And that's it. So I'll say it again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you are walking in the Spirit, then there is no need for legalism. That's what there is no law means. The Holy Spirit will direct you. We are not worried about legalism anymore. Holy Spirit will direct you. And we're going to make a prayer. I like to make prayers at the end of each of these lessons. Today's prayer is going to be that the Lord will grant us the grace to practice self-control, self-discipline, and self-restraint in all things. To grant us also the grace to walk in the Spirit at all times, bear the fruit of the Spirit, and also walk in love. Hallelujah. That our actions will not trigger someone else into emboldening them to do the wrong thing. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson. And as we conclude, we pray that the Lord will grant us grace. And I want you to pray for yourself, too. That the Lord will grant you the grace. I pray, Lord, that the Lord will grant us the grace to practice self-control, self-discipline, and self-restraint in all things. I pray that the Lord will grant us the grace to walk in the Spirit at all times so that we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's what Jesus said. And I pray, Lord, that you help us to bear the fruit of the Spirit in the image of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, all the glory. May the Holy Spirit interpret what the Spirit himself is saying into your hearts, give you understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.